It's poverty.
It's crime.
Unemployment.
Corruption.
Accountability.
The energy crisis.
Inflation.
We are worried.
That South Africa has myriad problems on all fronts is a given. But the time has come for us to look for real solutions. I'm Jeremy Maggs, and this MoneyWeb podcast will discuss those solutions on how South Africans can solve problems by having tough conversations and drawing on the insights of South Africa's top business leaders. Welcome to Fix SA. On this edition of Fix SA, I'm joined by Henny Heymans, who is Chief Executive Officer of DHL in South Africa. It is a big company. And as a leader of one of the most complex and fast-paced sectors in South Africa, I think it is fair to say that Henny has a unique perspective on the difficulties, the challenges, and also the opportunities in South Africa's logistics landscape. And I want to dive into how the sector is navigating the challenges and also explore his thoughts on what is needed to move the logistics industry forward. And if you move the logistics industry forward, by definition, I think you're going to move the needle as far as fixing South Africa is concerned. So, Henny, a very warm welcome to you, and thank you so much for talking to us. Maybe as a starting point, give me a sense of the logistics industry in South Africa right now, its kind of position and the crucial role that it plays in the economy. I wonder sometimes if we tend to underestimate its value.
Thank you, Jeremy. And I think if I start with your last point, I think it's quite an important point, because probably in its most succinct form, logistics makes the world go round. In other words, without logistics, economies simply don't function. So I think you are right when you say sometimes people don't quite appreciate the role of logistics in the bigger scheme of things. Insofar as South Africa is concerned, I think, you know, we're probably all well aware that infrastructure is just a major challenge for us in South Africa. Our rail system is non-functional, our ports are not efficient, and as a result of both, you know, our roads are very congested. Now, you know, I think everybody is aware of the NLCC, and if you look at their latest report, the congestion in our supply chain has significant implications. You know, it leads to an increase in costs. There's a delay in delivery times. Of course, you sit with reduced customer satisfaction. And there's just an overall disruption. And I think for me, all of those things combined makes us less favorable from a foreign investment point of view. So that's kind of my take on it for now, Jeremy.
How have you then, as an organization that is so critical to the moving cogs of this economy, been forced to adapt? What difficulties as well have you encountered in that respect?
So, Jeremy, it's a really good question. You know, I think first and foremost, what it has done to the logistics industry is it's forced us to be a lot more agile. You've got to think a lot quicker on your feet, and you've got to be really nimble in order to react. So I think there's been a couple of things that we've done as an industry. We've flexed our business a lot differently. And with flexing, I mean the mixture between road and air in specific. And things such as, you know, the Internet of Things, of course, and digitalization helps a huge amount, because you are able to react quicker as a result of that information that you have. And you're also able to be a little bit more accurate in the way that you plan, given the role that digitalization plays. But certainly with those changes comes a change in cost. And I think that's one of the things that we really need to be mindful of at a macro level. You know, for us in Africa and South Africa, our cost of logistics adds anything between 35% to 43% to the final cost of goods. And if you compare that to a Europe where it's between 3% and 5%, and the Americas, it's also single digits. Again, it just reiterates that we have to do something dramatic in order to bring that cost down, because if we bring that cost down, we become more attractive from an FDI perspective.
35% is a dramatic figure in itself, Henny. What do you need to do in order to bring that number down and make the change that you talk about?
We have to become more efficient in the way that we deal with logistics. We have to fix Transnet. We have to fix our ports. And we have to become less bureaucratic. We have to speed up the way we do things. If you look at South Africa and the role that it has to play and could and can play in Africa, You know, there's an enormous possibility from a gateway perspective. But we've lost out and we continue to lose out because of our inefficiencies. So those are the key things, Jeremy. We've got to get our ports to work. We've got to get our railway to work. And we've got to take away some of the bureaucracy. And we have to take on our role, our responsible role as a gateway into the rest of Africa, because we can and we should.
And Hennie Heymans, in that respect, are you seeing any encouraging signs or are you still frustrated?
I'm incredibly positive at the moment, Jeremy, with NLCC and the work that's being done. Their public and private partnerships have come back onto the radar. And I must say we have seen some fantastic results as a result. You know, if you look at Eskom and what's been happening at Eskom, I certainly think, and actually not think, I know that the public-private partnership through the CEO pledge and commitment that we've seen has made a massive difference. We've seen that we've had stability in the power utility for over 200 days. And I think that's a fantastic story. And perhaps we should talk a little bit more about that story and more often. You know, I think we're too quick to focus on the negatives, but there's some absolutely fantastic work going on in the background with regards to public-private partnerships in this country. So a long way to say I'm incredibly positive about the changes. I'm incredibly positive about government's commitment towards that. I serve on the Logistics Crisis Committee. I see their commitment. I see the changes that are coming. It's a great story, Jeremy.
I want to take you back to a word you used a little earlier, and that was the word nimble. And from a leadership perspective, how do you make sure that a company is moving quicker, is more nimble? Because the sense I'm getting from you is that if we become more adept, not only in your sector, but generally in business in South Africa, if we're able to pivot in a better way, things will be a lot easier. As a leader of an organization who preaches that gospel, what are you doing in that respect?
So I think it's about the attitude with which you approach these challenges. You have to have a can-do spirit and an approach to it. You have to have an approach of a little bit of entrepreneurship, because, you know, being nimble often requires to think outside of the box and outside of the prescribed set of rules, and therefore a spirit of entrepreneurship is really important. And then just from an organizational point of view, you know, it's that will to win. You have to have the will to win, because if you have the will to win, you will apply an entrepreneurial spirit and approach to these things. And then just, you know, for us, as we are very much a purpose-driven organization at DHL, and we talk about making the world a better place by connecting people and improving lives. And if people understand that role, and if people understand that everything that I do today can make a difference and can make the world a better place, you have a very different attitude and you have a very different approach, which then leads to being nimble and adaptable a lot better.
Hennie, we've gone through some very dark times in South Africa of note, both literally and figuratively. You talk about the will to win, and I absolutely understand that. And so many of my guests on this particular program have said exactly that. But how do you make sure that you keep that will to win when things around you are very turbulent or very difficult? Because again, that is the essence of good leadership.
Jeremy, I think, you know, we all have a choice. We have a choice of sitting around a barbecue and to complain about everything that's going wrong, or we have a choice to say, what is the contribution that I can make to make this a better country, to make things better for not just for me, but for the generations that come after us. Myself, like 134 other CEOs, have decided we're going to do the latter. We're going to contribute our skill set and our experience to plow it back into this country, which we love and where we operate, and we're going to make a difference in that contribution. So I think the point simply is this, that you know, rather than to sit and complain about everything that's wrong, we can contribute our skill set and our experience and help make it better and take hands in that Ubuntu spirit and actually work to make this country a better country for all.
But having said that, Hennie, it's okay, isn't it, to be frustrated sometimes, even to be angry?
100%, because it means that we want better. It is what we do with that energy of the frustration to sometimes get angry. It's about how we apply that energy. And to say, let me apply that energy in a positive manner and contribute and make it better. Because every single one of us have got something that we can contribute. And if we contribute it in a positive manner, we will collectively help build a better country.
Let me get back to the business that you operate in. And you spoke about South Africa being a gateway as far as the region is concerned. If this country could develop a top-tier logistics hub, what qualities are needed that would make it truly world-class? And if that happens, it goes a long way to fixing the country.
Jeremy, for us in our space, I think we've got to start with how goods come in and out of a country, and that comes to our customs department and officials, and we know that there's a shortage of skills. So I think that development of a skill set there is of paramount importance. And, you know, the suggestion I made the other day, just as a matter of interest, on a panel that I served and had a conversation with on some of these, if you think about what happens to a medical student in our country, they finish their studies and then they have to do a community service here. What if we do the same across other skill sets, engineers, customs and clearing, for example? I think that's one way of stimulating and accelerating the skill shortage that we have in that regard. So that's the first thing. So I think if you look at skills, we've got to really pay attention to how do we get that skills development amplified and accelerated. And then infrastructure, you know, we have to get the infrastructure right. You can have all the skills in the world, but if the infrastructure doesn't support it, well, we're not going to achieve that end goal. And then it's around efficiencies. We have to become more efficient as a country.
Let me take you back to that community service idea, if I can. It's an interesting thought. But shouldn't companies be doing this anyway more assertively just through better internship?
You absolutely have a point. The issue that we have is to get those programs to be sustainable. So let me give you an example. We have the YES program in South Africa. The YES program was meant to generate 1 million jobs. To date, it's only generated about 156,000 jobs. What are we doing now? Now we want to do a different program. And I think that's where we often go wrong. We cannot change an entire program every time the output doesn't deliver. What we should rather do as a collective is say, what has happened that the YES program hasn't delivered? What is it that we can tweak rather than to throw everything out of the window and to start afresh again? We have to have programs that are sustainable whilst understanding that the initial design might not be the perfect design, but then it's about tweaking the design rather than every time say, let's start a new program or new initiative.
On this edition of Fix SA, I'm in conversation with Henny Heymans, who's Chief Executive Officer of DHL South Africa. And Henny, let's continue the conversation. E-commerce is surging. It's all about tech solutions right now. In your space, sectorally, what are you learning from this shift and how are you meeting the rising demand for speed and flexibility? Because again, if there is a better understanding and a better take up of e-commerce effectively and efficiently, again, it will go a long way to fixing problems that we have.
Yeah, Jeremy, I think e-commerce growth is off the charts at the moment. And the future is truly really bright for Africa and the logistics around the e-commerce, both in and outbound. And what we are seeing that's helping to drive this growth is digitalization, digital payments, and just the whole thing around the social side of e-commerce. Now, globally, we're actually seeing a move towards quick commerce. So it's that on-demand, quick and app-driven delivery for the fast-moving consumer goods, particularly around the small electronics and fashion and so on. So for us, it's hugely exciting. There's a massive appetite, not just in South Africa, but on the continent. And again, this is where technology comes in quite a big way. At DHL, for example, we make use of on-demand delivery, which allows a customer to select a convenient delivery option or lockers or a retail point where they can go and pick up. So again, being agile and nimble is paramount here because this e-commerce industry is changing really, really quickly. But it's a wonderful opportunity for us, not just in South Africa, but Africa as a whole.
How difficult or easy is it in your business to think innovatively and creatively? Because so many chief executives that I've spoken about or spoken to on this podcast have said that underpins everything that they do. But often the day-to-day running of a business gets in front of that and prevents them from being a little bit more open-minded.
Great question, Jeremy. Thank you. For us, and I guess as your guests have indicated, sometimes you do get distracted just because business happens every day, and it's not possible every day to think about it. So we've gone a slightly different route, and that we've actually set up a division that just looks at that for us. And we've got what we call innovation centers, and our teams at these different innovation centers that are placed all around the world. Their sole job is to try and look and to gaze into the crystal ball of the future and say, what are the things, what are the developments that are going to make things better and more efficient for us and allow that nimbleness that I've been talking about. So for us, for example, we've got an innovation center in Dubai, and we look at things such as temperature-controlled mechanisms to, for example, when we send perishables to make sure we can monitor it real-time and avoid waste, for example. We also use some of those tracking mechanisms to say if there's a delay somewhere in the world, how can we reroute those shipments? And it sounds simple, but it's actually quite complicated if you've got something on its way from the East, for example, and the hubs run out of capacity in the Middle East. So that ability to then react through the innovation is really what kind of keeps that entrepreneurial spirit well and alive within DHL.
Henny, if I said to you that I was giving you the job of Minister of Logistics in South Africa, and you've got a month to start fixing the problem, I've got two questions, in fact, three questions. Would you want the job? Second of all, where would you start? And thirdly, who would you call to help you?
Jeremy, that's a great question. Would I want the job? I would probably give it a go. The adventurer in me says I would definitely give it a go. I think one has to start with getting the basics right. I think public-private partnerships will form an absolute key part of it. I think privatization would be another big topic that would be on the agenda. And then finally, it's to kind of just focus on the basics around the efficiencies. That's probably where I would start, Jeremy, but a great question. I haven't been offered the job.
And who would you call to help you? Or it doesn't have to be an individual, but what kind of people would you want sitting around your table?
We have fantastic leaders in this country, Jeremy, and I would certainly probably call on a few bankers because we know that there would be enormous investment required. So I would definitely knock on the door of a few bankers. I would definitely call on our automotive sector because they play such an important part in our economy and in providing jobs and making us an exporter. So I would certainly call on some players in the automotive industry. And then just some of our really, really strong leaders from a service industry point of view. Those are probably the people I would surround myself with in that boardroom.
Just back to the sector itself, Henny. We know for the past couple of years, I mean, ever since the pandemic, that there has been global supply chain disruption. To what extent has that impacted on your operations, and what lessons have you learned from those difficulties in order to make your business and the sector more future fit?
Jeremy, that's a fantastic question, and certainly COVID has disrupted logistics in the way that we knew logistics. And for example, you know, we had to very dramatically and very quickly change the hubs that we use around the world. If you think about the war that broke out in Europe, that suddenly meant that your aircraft couldn't fly over that airspace. And then it becomes quite technical in terms of the hours and the fuel and so on and so forth. And therefore, we had to change the regional hubs. In other words, where we hub and reconnect with other airlines. So we've certainly learned that you have to have a lot more flexibility. And you know, because we have our own airline, we were able to adapt really quickly. We also learned that the approach that we took 25 years ago to have our own airline, we probably couldn't have scripted that better during COVID because the big players that survived and thrived during COVID are those who had their own airlines. For us, as DHL in Africa, that was of particular importance because we're the only player that's got an airline in Africa dedicated to that. So that helped to keep Africa connected to the world and to keep the world connected to Africa. And then the other buzzwords that have crept in as a result of that is around offshoring and nearshoring and friendly shoring. We saw, especially again during COVID, where we had none of those onshoring and nearshoring close to the continent, transit times got negatively impacted. And everything took longer. At the moment, it takes longer, it becomes more expensive, and it's just an incredible knock-on effect. So those are some of the key lessons that we've learned. And part of how we're trying to evolve around that, for example, is through some of these public-private partnerships, where we talk to certain governments and say, why don't we make your country more attractive so we can bring in some of that onshoring or nearshoring of the big companies, the international companies to our continent, not just for the sake of our continent, but it also means that the continent overall can benefit from that change in the logistics field.
Drawing on your own experience, one of the other observations that I've gleaned from this series of interviews is that there's often a disconnect between leadership and the actual process itself. So drawing, Henny, on your own experience, how close are you to the trenches of your business? Do you walk the warehouses? Do you look at the vehicles? Do you engage with the airline that you run? Because again, if a leader is close to the problem, it's going to be a lot easier to solve. I'd suggest that all too often that distance is very preclusionary in terms of fixing the country.
Jeremy, at DHL, we've got a philosophy where we say that every leader has to spend 70% of her or his time in the field with our people. So in our business and in our context, it means that we have to go out on a courier run and see what our couriers do every single day. We've got to see, you know, is their vehicle fit for purpose? You know, do they have everything that they need in order to execute their job in the best possible way? Part of that 70% is also to sit in a call center on a call or to go out on a sales call with your salespeople. So we have a very, very clear approach and understanding of that. And the philosophy is quite a simple one. We believe that everything will happen through our people. If we have a strong and a motivated workforce, we absolutely know that that will lead to great service quality. Now, if you have great service quality through your people, you will have loyal customers, because customers wants to deal with an organization who's not just efficient, but friendly and warm and receptive and agile. And we know if we do that, well, then we'll have a good business model. So in summary, very clear that we have to spend 70% of our time in the field with our people in order to make sure that our business not only understands what they require, but that we understand what our customer requires from us. That's really the only way to discover that.
Drawing to the end, I've got one or two more to ask you. Important in your organization, I would imagine, is sustainability, which is increasingly critical in logistics. Are there initiatives that your industry is adopting to minimize its environmental footprint?
Yeah, Jeremy, we're quite serious about the environment, and we equally a very understanding of the role that we play in CO2 emissions being in logistics. So we've made a huge commitment globally to be have zero emissions by 2050. And as a result, probably our biggest investment in the sector and specifically is around sustainable aviation fuel. And in fact, very proud of the fact that DHL as the airline is the biggest user of SAF in the world at the moment. So there's hundreds of millions of euros that's getting spent on this. But we're also able to bring that to our customers through a program called Go Green Plus, where customers have the opportunity to pick that. And in doing so, they help reduce their inset as well. So that's the second element. The third element of it is around carbon neutral buildings. And for example, for us, our building in Midrand is carbon neutral, an enormous investment for us. And it's actually our very first carbon neutral building in Africa. And then, of course, you know, you look at your hybrid vehicles, electrical vehicles, solar energy and so on and so forth. So very high on our agenda. We spent not just a lot of time on it, but we also really spent real money on these efforts.
Let me finish this conversation with a philosophical question. You've outlined to me what the problems are, how they affect your sector, and what the fix is. So, Henny, in conclusion then, how will we know? What is the marker of success in this country? How will we know when we've gone sufficiently far in order to say South Africa is fixed? Do you have a view on that?
I do, Jeremy, and I would say the first one people can already take as a positive, and you can see it and you can hear it when you talk to business people, is the fact that we've had over 200 days of uninterrupted power supply. I think that's an absolute good sign to say the public-private partnership initiative is working, it is delivering. As we see a change, and there's already some changes happening in Transnet, positive changes, we will see that will improve. The moment that improves, we will see a shift in terms of the competitiveness of South Africa. And for me, the final tick in the box would be is if because of those changes, we see more foreign direct investment coming into this country, we'll see a rand strengthening, we'll see a slowdown in our inflation, and we'll just see an overall better mood in the country. One of the things that this initiative is tackling is also around security. So I think we all want to see that being better and improving as well. But the signs are there, Jeremy. I'm very upbeat. I can tell you there's a load of other CEOs who shares the same positive view that I do. And it's there. Let's keep the faith and let's all do our bit to contribute to the betterment of this country.
I think that's a good place to put a punctuation point on this conversation. Henny Hayman's Chief Executive Officer, DHL South Africa, thank you for joining me on this edition of Fix SA on MoneyWeb. Thanks for listening to this Fix SA podcast. For more episodes posted every second Friday, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Or follow MoneyWeb News on social media for more updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.